As we come to this part of our worship, it's certainly good for us to be together on this Lord's Day morning, church assembling to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we trust that each of us can worship Him acceptably. As we come to devote our time for a few minutes this morning to the Word of God and the proclaiming of the Gospel of Christ, and you see Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 indicated on the screen, you may wonder about a couple of things. One, should I be turning my Bible to this passage? The answer to that is yes. Be a good idea. Open your Bible to Philippians, the third chapter. That's going to be the text of our lesson this morning. But then secondly, you may be wondering, are we having a series on Philippians? Question. Well, not exactly. When I think of these lessons, I kind of suggested the next. We've had several from Philippians, but technically we're not having a series on Philippians. We're having a series of lessons from the book of Philippians. And there's a difference, at least, from this perspective. We've noted in chapter 2, working out our own salvation. We've noted in chapter 3, the citizenship in heaven, natural thought. And then last Sunday, we talked about the knowledge of Christ Jesus that Paul talks about and the principles that we learn in the earlier part of the third chapter. And this part of chapter 3, Philippians, just seemed to be the natural place for us to give our attention this morning for gospel sermon for edification. So I invite you to read with me this passage, Philippians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 12. He said, "Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so may be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, stretching forward to the things that are before, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only, whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk." This is a part of some of the most personal writing that Paul does in any of his epistles. We look into the words that the Apostle Paul has penned in these few verses that we have read, and we see, drawing from some of the most personal feelings, the most personal matters that he's concerned about. And they're about himself. But what is noticeable is how he's lovingly sharing these with the Philippians and with us. And what we have in this passage then is from the heart of this great apostle what you and I can identify, and the ways that I'm identifying it here for our purpose in this lesson this morning is his rule for success. Special emphasis italics upon the word rule. But if you and I had the opportunity to sit down with the Apostle Paul, and Paul, would you teach me what you know and what you can share with me about what has made it possible for you to be so successful as a Christian? You and I might have the tendency to think, well, he's great because he was an apostle. He had miraculous power to work the signs of an apostle. Well, that's certainly true. But that's not why he was successful in this passage. In this passage, he explains to you and he explains to me what you and I might call his secret, his explanation, telling us how it was possible for him to be so successful. It was because he was successful as a Christian, and he's sharing that with us so that we too can be successful as a Christian. So therefore, what we have in this passage is Paul's rule for success. The word rule is found in verse 16, at least in the American Standard Version. When we come to the end of these verses, this paragraph closes with this thought. He said, "Only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk." Well, we're going to talk about this a little more in detail in just a few minutes. But I noticed this passage with you at this early stage of our lesson because in it the apostle refers to what is in our translations as the word rule, or the New American Standard Bible as the word standard. Oftentimes we hear this referenced as the gospel of Christ. Well, certainly the gospel of Christ is included by inference, but that's not what Paul is talking about in this expression. That's not the most direct reference here. It certainly would include that, but Paul has in mind what he has just taught. The rule that he is exhorting Christians to walk by involves the principles that he has just taught in these verses. So therefore, what we have in this passage is basically four principles. A four-principled rule, we might say. Paul's rule for success expressed in four different principles. And what we're going to do, just take a few minutes and identify what these four principles are, and I would encourage all of us to make mental note, make whatever note we would to help us remember this passage and what Paul is teaching. These four principles, I would suggest to you, are just as much the secret to your success in going to heaven as they were for him, as they were for Paul. And so let's recognize what they were. The first principle I would just express as recognition. There's the principle of recognition. Paul, why were you so successful as a Christian? It was because of recognition. Well, recognition of what? Well, when he made the statement like this, "I count not myself yet to have laid hold." Give a lot of thought to that. If there's anyone aside from the Lord himself that you and I would attribute to say has reached the epitome, has reached the end, has reached it all, it would be the Apostle Paul, would it not? But yet we listen to him and what he's saying to us, that hasn't happened. "I count not myself, I consider not myself yet to have reached that point." So here's a recognition. He recognized this about himself. And what we will call that is a recognition of present reality. He talks about the past in this passage. We know that very well. He talks about the future. But what we have in this statement is principle number one, a recognition of present reality. Just what is the reality right now? Well, Paul was a faithful apostle, a faithful servant of Christ, no question. He was a faithful Christian. But he recognized in his own honesty and sincerity that he had not yet attained or achieved all that was before him to do. And I would suggest to us, as we think about this principle, that it certainly should be our recognition as a guiding precept in Christian living to recognize, as we do from this statement that Paul made in verse 12. He continues the thought and, in fact, repeats it again, and in repeating it again, says some additional things. "Not that I have already obtained, or am already made perfect. But I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus." A little bit of thinking through that last statement, but let's do that because what he said, Christ had laid hold on him. That was present reality. The New Testament is very clear in revealing to us the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. When this great man became a Christian, was converted to Christ, Christ laid hold on him. And that's what Paul says in this passage. That's the point in his life that he has reference to. He was laid hold on. The Lord took him unto himself and made him his own. But you noticed, that's not all Paul said. He has also laid hold on Christ. This is the part that sometimes folks forget. Think there's just a one-sided thing here. The Lord will take care of me. The Lord will take hold of me. The Lord will get me through. Yes, that's true. But the Lord also expects you to take hold of Him. And this certainly is in this verse. I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. What I'm doing is putting forth the effort so that I may lay hold on Him as He has laid hold on me. And I think we can all understand those principles. It's a present reality. A lot of times folks are delusional. Sometimes folks rationalize themselves into wonderful situations and relationships when they aren't true with the Lord. Present reality is where it's at for you, and being honest with yourself, honest with the Lord, to be successful in going to heaven. You can't deceive yourself. You can't be delusional about where you really are spiritually. Deceive yourself into thinking something's true when it's not and still be successful. None of us can do that. Recognition, present reality. What is yours? If you're not a Christian, then you need to deal with the fact that Christ has not yet laid hold on you. That's present reality. If that's the case, then you need to give serious thought to your relationship to the Lord. Because if Christ has not yet laid hold on you, then present reality is you're in a lost condition, destined for eternal hell. Present reality. But if the Lord has laid hold on you, then here's the second part of that. Are you laying hold on Him? Well, what that would mean, spiritually speaking, are we developing and forming and growing in our intimate relationship and bonding with Him as we should? Is that present reality for you? And what Paul said, I'm not through with this yet. Even the Apostle Paul made these statements. I haven't already done this completely. It's not done yet. But I press on in order that it may be. But this is also important for us in a humble recognition. Sometimes Christians get the idea, well, I've kind of reached it. I've gone as far as I'm going to go. I've reached the level that I feel like is the highest possible level for me. Have you? That shouldn't be a present reality. Present reality is, if the Lord has laid hold on you, you are laying hold on Him, then you need to see that as a work that is in progress, that is continuing for you to develop, that you're going to continue as long as you live, as long as you breathe, this side of the death for you, that you're still involved in this process every day. There's no time, there's no place for reprieve, for retreat, for giving up, for quitting. It's just not there. It shouldn't even be a consideration. It's an ongoing process. Recognition, present reality. That's principle number one. Let's talk about number two. Determination. What Paul does in this passage is really tell us, in effect, at least the way we would identify what he's talking about, is determination. Have we got some determination? The one thing I do. Paul, that sounds simplistic. Sounds too simple. The one thing I do, I press on. Let's think about that expression for just a moment. And what is his determination? It is a singular endeavor. And some folks on the surface may get, that's crazy. Anybody who lives everyday life experiences, we multitask. We have so many things to do, it's not possible to get it all done. And that's true. And that may be more true for you than others. But that was true for Paul too. He multitasked in his day in the first century just like we do today in this age of technology. But he still said, I have the second principle that I want to teach you is the principle of determination in a single endeavor. And what that means is when it gets down to just one, of course he means there's one thing that I do that I regard as the single most important thing in this life. It's not that there's nothing else. It's nothing that I couldn't count a long list of things, but there's still just one thing that I do. And there's one thing that's so important to me that it is of singular importance. And that, of course, is as he expresses in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, stretching forward to the things which are before. Which, of course, involves some things that helps us understand that these two basic things that kind of learn from this passage. That is, Paul is teaching us to fix, to establish the goal that has singular importance to us, and the one for us should be the same as his. And that's what he's talking about, his process, being involved in this process of the Lord taking hold of him and him taking hold of the Lord. That's the one thing that he's talking about, that spiritual growth and journey to heaven. That's an intimate, developing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that needs to be a goal that's fixed, that is of singular importance. That's the one thing. That's the determination. If we haven't determined that yet, then we need to make that determination. But then it needs to go beyond the mental determination. We need to have the determined effort. We need to put forth the effort to do that one thing. Sometimes we do a lot of thinking, do a lot of study. But when it comes down and, as we say, the rubber hits the road, the tire hits the ground, when the shoes hit the pavement, we got to do what needs to be done. There's no getting away from it. There's no getting around it. And that just simply involves determination to do. But let me add a couple of things to our thinking on this, because Paul mentioned a couple of things that we would call supportive actions, some things that he taught us that he does that kind of supports this, makes it possible for him. Now, one of those, he said, forgetting the things that are behind. That's kind of hard sometimes. And I don't believe that what Paul is telling us, that somehow we can miraculously erase our memories. There are things that happen that will always be a part of our memory bank. But what he's saying, and those happen for Paul as well. Can you imagine what he had to live with as Saul of Tarsus, casting his vote and being responsible for the death of innocent people like you? Going to Damascus with letters to do that in foreign cities as well? That wasn't erased from his memory back, but yet he could say, forgetting the things which are behind. What do you think he means? He means, I'm not going to continue to remember that, continue to dwell on that. I'm not going to continue to focus on that. I'm going to turn away from that. I can't undo it. It's done. But I'm going to try my best to live beyond that. And you see how that helps do the one thing? If we kind of can't forget some things in the past, we keep going back, and trying to, it just gets difficult to do that one thing. Because we have so many things that are troubling and difficult for us and dragging us down. So this is important. You say, well, let me add a thought to that too. I don't think Paul just means the bad things either. I think he also would include the good things. You say, what, forget the good things? Well, in the sense that he did. Because we don't rest on our accomplishments in the past. I've already done all I can do. I've already done that. Surely I can get into heaven on my past good deeds. Not that they're not important. But what Paul is saying in his life, think of all that he'd accomplished. He had already at this point in this first Roman imprisonment traveled thousands of miles establishing churches throughout this then known world in Asia, Asia Minor, Greece. But yet he's saying that as far as he's concerned in his life, a lot of good things. But he's not going to rest on that. He's not going to quit on that. He's going to move on. So the forgetting the things which are behind shouldn't, whether they're good and bad, shouldn't be those things that hold us back and prevent us from putting forth the effort that needs to be done to move forward into the future. And that's what he talks about secondly in this passage, and that is stretching. It's, you realize as you read this passage and see the figure that Paul is doing, he's got in mind as he writes these things, those early Grecian games. There's several words that come from that language. Prize, goal, and several words even in these verses that come from that background that he's using as an analogy to Christian life. And this is one that if you've ever run a race, just as kids on the playground out there running a race, and you really want to win, you're not going to lag back. And if it's close and someone's right by your side, you're going to stretch. It's like we see runners do. Stretch forward. In other words, put forth whatever it takes to reach out and stretch toward the things which are before, which involve for him this continued spiritual growth and going to heaven and everything that he wanted yet to accomplish in his life, in his work for Christ. Principle number three would be the principle of expectation. So we've had the principle of recognition, present reality. We've had the principle of determination, single endeavor, the one thing I do. And now what Paul talks about is an expectation. Do you think that we can be successful without expecting, without hoping? A lot of folks are so negative, they don't expect anything good. It's never going to be good. It's all bad. I'm never going to be able to do this. It will never happen for me. And never should we be that way for Christians. If we think that way as a Christian and we're actually trying to get to heaven, you think it would be difficult to get to heaven with that negative thinking? And what Paul is talking about here is an expectation that what? His expectation is this. The prize of the high calling of God. Sit down and play a game. Who doesn't play to win? Tim and family here, one thing we did last night, Friday night, sit down around the table and play a card game. We like to play Uno. And we played Uno since these kids were old enough to hold those cards in their hand. And Charlotte, being the youngest, joined right in. But she plays to win. Why? Because she wants to win. She wants the prize. She wants to be the winner, as everybody does. Melissa included in that, too. But in that kind of game, one person can win. There's one winner maybe out of six or seven people. Now, I'm talking about something that's not a game. I'm talking about something that is the most serious participation that anyone could ever engage. And furthermore, let me tell you that everybody can be a winner. I mean, everyone can be. It's not like just one of us is going to win. It's that everybody can. And can you imagine in that environment with that mindset, I say, well, I'm not even going to try. I don't even care enough to put forth the effort to do that. You know, there are just other things more important to me. And so you imagine with a prize that you can win and the person beside you can win and the person beside them can win. Everybody, that everyone wouldn't put forth the effort. Well, that's where we are. And what he's talking about here is not just a game prize. It's the highest achievement for the human race. I mean, the entire population of the human race upon the face of the earth, the highest achievement by anyone is this goal, this prize that Paul talks about. For the winner of the race that he may have been envisioning in his mind, that individual that ran that 100-yard dash in those early first century Olympic Games were crowned with a laurel wreath, a wreath made out of laurel leaves. That was the prize. But for us, as Paul uses this term, it is going to heaven. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the last and fourth principle, and it's one that we would think, well, surely would be included, and we would think of if we would think of the things that are necessary, but they certainly were for Paul, and he teaches us this. And that is the principle of continuation. Does anyone think that we could stop and discontinue and still be successful? I don't think anyone would think that. Obviously, if any of us were asked to be successful in going to heaven and being successful as a Christian, no one can stop and quit. No one can turn around and go backwards. No one can give up. Everybody has to continue. Well, that's exactly what Paul teaches us in this passage. And that's the meaning of this statement in verse 16 that we read at the beginning of the lesson as we come full circle back to it. That's what Paul is saying here. He said, only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk. You know, with those principles, what he's talking about, continuing using the same standard. Now, what he's teaching the Philippians and what he's teaching us, I want you to know that I haven't attained yet. I'm still working on that. We understand that. But I'm continuing, and I want you to know what I'm continuing by following the same standard. I'm not changing course. I'm not changing rules. I'm not changing the standard. The Lord is not changing the standard. I want you to know that continuation from present reality into the future, that pressing on must be by the same standard that we have used to get where we are. And that's what he means by this statement. He simply says, only whereunto we have attained, in other words, wherever it is that you have attained or achieved, wherever you are now in your life, following this process that's according to Scripture, not one that's self-invented or humanly invented, but one that's from the Word of God, that wherever you are, then by that same standard that I have followed, I want you to follow. And then what he meant, let us continue to walk. So basically the principles here, as he has expressed in verse 15, sometimes causes Bible readers just a little bit of difficulty, but in the 15th verse, Paul said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And the difficulty comes in people's mind when they have heard that Paul stated in verse 12, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect. Well, Paul said, you just said in verse 12 that you're not perfect yet. Okay? And what he's saying in verse 15 is saying, let us as many as are, including himself, do the pressing on. Be thus minded. Think like this. Well, the difference is in the terms, and what Paul meant in verse 12 is, I haven't reached that final state of complete perfection that I will have when I attain unto the resurrection that I just referred to in the previous verse. But I have attained and achieved unto a level of spiritual maturity, which, as you recall, the meaning of this term, spiritual maturity in this process that I'm still working on. And what I'm exhorting you to do is, wherever you have obtained in this process, we have attained a certain level of spiritual maturity in following these principles. Because Paul said, as many as are perfect, in other words, the spiritually immature aren't going to do this. That's a fact. Those who are spiritually immature will not be involved in this process, according to this passage. And so the fact that you are is a mark of spiritual maturity in and of itself. And there are different levels of spiritual maturity, as indicated in the Scriptures. Paul was spiritually mature. He understood that some in Philippi were. As many as you are, let us. So, in other words, here is attaining a certain level of spiritual growth in following these principles, reaching spiritual maturity. And his point is, his exhortation, let us continue walking. Let us continue living, moving toward the goal by following the same rule, by following the same standard. So I think we understand that. See what we have when we come to the end of verse 16? We've got Paul's rule for success, shared with us, exhorted to us. You want to go to heaven? Here it is. It's up to you. This is it. Now, we may think of it in different terms. We don't have to use the exact same terms that I've used today, but we have to use the exact words that are in this passage, because that's written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Paul uses these principles, a continuation, using the same stand. So if we're on the right track, and I hope that you can feel you are, then we need to be encouraged. Don't think about changing. Don't think about, well, maybe there's a better rule, a better standard, a better way. Maybe someone else got it better than Paul. No, they don't. You take what Paul was doing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, using these principles, looked upon that as a rule that he was following and that he was exhorting other Christians to follow. Let's do that together. You know what's interesting about this passage? In Galatians chapter 6, I'll just make a cross-reference back to the book of Galatians. Paul did this same thing with the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6. And verse 16, as he's closing the book of Galatians, in chapter 6:16, he says, as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be unto you. Well, the rule that he's talking about here in the context of this passage is glorying in the cross of Christ. Walking by devoting ourselves and boasting in the cross of Christ, not ourselves, not in our works, but in Christ and his death. And so this is a kind of a form of Paul. And if your Bible makes the italics in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, that's the explanation for the italics, because actually the word rule, the original word that's in Galatians 6:16, is not in Philippians chapter 3 verse 16. And your Bible may indicate that. If it does, that's the explanation of that. It's translated rule or translated standard, just to complete the thought that it was understood that Paul is making. So what have we done? I looked at this passage, brethren, verse 17. That's the beginning of the next paragraph. This is Paul's desire and his exhortation. All I'm wanting you to do is just be imitators of me. So in closing with this passage, we started by looking at what Paul is teaching to share with us from his heart as he wrote to the Philippians, what made it possible for him to be so successful as a Christian. It wasn't his ability to work miracles, although he It made him successful as an apostle, as the Lord gave him that ability. But four basic principles. And those four basic principles are the same principles that can help you. Paul's rule of success: recognition, present reality. Determination, single endeavor. Expectation, I'm thinking positive. I'm not thinking like a loser. I'm thinking like a winner. I'm thinking like one who's faithful to Christ. I'm not thinking on the lowest level. I'm thinking of the highest achievement. I'm thinking of the greatest achievement that anyone could ever achieve. And that is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The highest. That's my expectation. I'm not settling for anything less. And I hope that you aren't either. And finally, continue. We've got to continue. Can't stop. And following the same rule. This same rule, of course, is contained in the gospel. But what Paul is talking about here, this rule, are these principles that he teaches us in this passage that will help us continue and press on, forgetting the things that are behind, stretching forward to the things that are before, and pressing on toward heaven. And that's what this day means. It's another day, sunrise, sunset. During these hours, the first day of the week, we assemble as the Lord has commanded us to do. But we're progressing toward heaven, making progress and pressing on. If you have not yet allowed Christ to lay hold on you, in other words, then recognize present reality. Where are you without Christ? Where are you without being a Christian? Where are you without His saving blood? Recognize present reality. If today is the day that you desire to render obedience to the gospel, then we stand ready to assist you. But continue on in recognizing these principles and using them each and every day of your life. If you're an erring Christian, desire to make correction for sin that you've committed, then certainly we want you to get your life on track, life right and faithful with the Lord. We'll go to God in prayer with you in your behalf for forgiveness of your sins, if that's your desire this morning. May we help you today. Let us know while together we stand and sing.